We're going to continue our series on legacy. This is part three. And hopefully this has stirred you up on the inside to want to maybe make a greater impact on your family, you know, to leave something to your kids that will be spiritual, and they'll want to carry on and keep that baton going and keep running that race. So this is part three. We're going to look today at the idea of generational blessing. I've been hitting it kind of hard the first 2 weeks, kind of more of a correction on some of the things that we kind of mess up in life, because we do mess up. You know, but now hopefully today we're going to try to look at the things of what you and I can do to really start to bring blessing into our families and start to see it, you know, get that snowball effect in a good way where things start to get better and better. You know, I envy those preachers that are second and third or fourth generation, you know, preachers in their family, because they get to pick up, you know, where their parents have taught them in that area. And, you know, that's a real blessing. So we're going to look at how to really learn how to trust God. Now, how many of you probably in life have probably had to have hand-me-downs every now and then? You know, I was the oldest, so I didn't have to have that as much, but I did have a few. You know, how about hand-me-down blessing? You know, or, you know, get something that you kind of get from somebody else. Now, hand-me-down blessing is a little different. It's not really a hand-me-down. It's really a grab-a-hold-of. You know, but how many parents know that you can only inform your children so far before you know they're going to have to do it on their own? They're going to have to somehow grab a hold of God's truth and start to have it manifest in their lives themselves. And that's very important. That's what we want to do. Now, in Scripture, quite a bit of times, have you seen Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They always kind of sometimes put those three names together. Well, that was father to son. You know, and it talks about that, and we're going to look at that. We're going to look at, because they were mentioned in sequential order in Scripture so many times that, you know, they learned how to walk in generational blessing because they was able to witness it maybe in their parent. Now, generational blessing is what we want to have manifest in our families, but each generation will have opportunities to either take God at His word or to go it alone and trust in themselves, and that's really what happens. You know, a lot of times, like I said, you know, before, maybe a week or two ago, about how everybody knew who God was, you know, especially after Noah. They all knew who God was, man. He brought the flood, and then He brought them through and saved them. But then somewhere along the line, some parent or some kid dropped the ball, and they broke the chain. They became the weakest link, and we don't want to be that person. Amen? So, you know, we're going to look at Abraham today. Now, Abraham had two names, Abram and Abraham. Abram, he started out. And then Abraham was after he cut covenant with God, and he took some of the letters of God's name and it put into his name. So I'm just going to call him Abraham today just for ease of my mind so I don't mess up all the time, because that's how I remember him as a covenant man. So he may be Abram sometimes, and in this first passage we're going to look at, he is Abram. It says here, now the Lord, in Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, and now this is before, you know, he had come in covenant with God. He said, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And all the families of the earth will be blessed. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit here today. Lord, we thank you for stirring us up on the inside to want more of you. Lord, help us to grab a hold of your truth and to be able to run with it, Lord, and not look back. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here we see this is kind of, you know, Abraham's first kind of chit-chat with God a little bit. And it was kind of a major thing in some ways, because God told Abram to pack up and leave all your family behind. How many would like to do that? Don't raise your hand right now. Somebody might be looking at you. You know what I'm saying? But he told him to pack up and go to the place that I have for you. Okay, that means he had to go to a new place, a place he's never been. Now, I want to reiterate here that Abraham was a first generation follower of the true God. His family served other gods, they worshiped idols and all these things, the place he was raised, his culture. So, you know, he had kind of a, you know, predetermined, shall we say, outlook of spirituality to a degree. But all of a sudden, here's the true God gets a hold of him, you know, and grabs a hold of him and gives him some choices in life to do. And Abraham didn't have to do what God said, just like you and I don't have to. It's better if we do. You know, somehow we think that, you know, God just made people do things. He didn't. Abraham had a choice, and he chose to follow God. And so something that God noticed about Abraham was the fact that Abraham was one of those people that should just grab a hold of something and take it. He saw that was remarkable inside of him, that he could have faith, because Abraham, whenever God told him something, he wouldn't second guess him. He would just take him at his word and go. And see, that's a trait that you and I, you know, would be good to grab a hold of, because I'll be honest, sometimes we read these stories in the Bible and we think, oh man, yeah, sure. It was easy for them, you know, because God had called them. Well, God has called you, and God has called me. And what we fail to realize sometimes is that, you know, we think these stories in the Bible just went boom, 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 all in a couple weeks, and it's over. No, it wasn't like that. There was many years in between, and it's those in-between times that's when our faith is being developed. Those times that after we hear from God and we're acting upon God's word, and as we step out there, all that doubt and unbelief and all that stuff in the world, and people trying to drag us down and people trying to drag us back, but yet we stay the course. That's when our faith gets strong. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's hard sometimes on our flesh. It's hard, you know, some of the decisions and some of the things that happen. But nevertheless, it is worth it. There's nothing better than getting your faith developed, because then you're going to be strong in the things of the Lord. Well, this is where we're going to pick up a story here in Genesis chapter 14, and I read verses 18 to 23. And it says, "And in Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of the God Most High. He blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave a tenth of all.' And the king of Sodom said to Abram, 'Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself.' Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear you would say, I have made Abram rich.'" So that was a personal choice that he had made in his life, that he is not going to let somebody take all the glory away from God in the things that God does in his life. See, generational blessing is when a father speaks blessing over his children and spiritual power flows. We need to do that in our families. We need to bless our children. And we need to speak those words out and, you know, let that spiritual power flow. Now, Abraham, like we say, the first thing I want to see here is that he knew that God was his source here. And that was very important. We need to acknowledge that in ourselves. We live side by side with heathen, right? Pagans, people who don't believe in the true God. We may go work at the same place, but we look at it differently in the sense, who is our source? Some people see their boss as their source. Some people see the government as their source. Well, Christians should see God as their source. That's how we need to look at that. God is our source. Abraham would not take a handout. You know, he just wanted to make sure that God, you know, was the one who gets all the glory. Now, a little bit about Abraham. You know, he was the father of our faith. You know, it says that in the New Testament. You know, here he hadn't cut covenant with God yet, but he was going to a little bit later. And he cut the covenant with God, and then through that it said all the earth are going to be blessed. So that was through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was in this lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then it went on down to the tribe of Judah, and then, you know, things like that. So anyway, we see how this kind of comes together. Now, Abraham's relationship with God was pre-law, is before the law was given. That's why we considered him the father of faith. Abraham took God at his word, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. See, that's what the Bible says, and see, that's how it is in our relationship with God. You know, it's not that we keep a bunch of rules and things that the law says. I mean, although we do need to be obedient to God, but what it says here is the idea that, you know, he was pre-law, and that he had just he had the kind of relationship, which was a picture of the relationship that you and I, you know, have with the Lord Jesus Christ through his shed blood. Okay, now, Abraham knew God was his source. You know, this is the first key to start generational blessing in your life. You know, I mean, I don't mean this wrong. It's going to, you know, don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers, but certain families either get into generational blessing or they can get into generational cursing. You know, in the sense where they're not walking in the benefits that God has and how we can turn those things around. You know, our children mimic really how we live. Now, sometimes they can break that mold, and hopefully it was a bad mold, they break that. But primarily, a lot of time, you know, our kids are a byproduct of the actions that you and I live in the families, you know. And if we don't look to God as our source, well, then we're going to acknowledge other sources in our life. Like I say, maybe your boss. And then, you know, if we just look to our job, how many's lost a job before? Maybe that certain sector closed down or slowed down. You know, when I was an electrician, you know, here in Iowa in the 80s, you know, it was getting really slow. There was a farm crisis, and that affected everything else and affected some jobs. I probably could have got one if I wanted one. But I moved to Denver. But that was God's leading because I needed to change my life anyway. Amen. You know, and that's where God led me to a good church. I got born again and I went to Bible school. So that was God's hand upon that. But primarily, you know, everybody was discouraged and depressed and, you know, and things weren't going very well. And so if you raise in that kind of climate, you get this fear. You're raised in fear. And then sometimes some people, you know, then get to the fact where, you know, the government has to be our source. You know, so I need government assistance. I need government help. And then they get to the place where that's their only source. And then they take God out of that equation. And then, you know, I'm not against government assistance because it's there for a reason. But my problem is when you acknowledge it as your only source in life. Because the government will fail you. Your job will fail you. But our God will never fail you. And we need to get to that place in our life. You know, you may still get money from your boss or money from the government, but you need to acknowledge that God is your ultimate source in life. And that's what Abraham did. And that helped him in his pilgrimage or his journey in following God. When we get to that place in our life. Now, what happened is that he was so blessed that even people around him got blessed. His nephew Lot tapped into some of that generational blessing. And he probably saw the way that Abraham did business and all these things. And so they each had their own herds. And, you know, Lot went with him when he went to this new place. And they were so blessed, they had so many critters, that there wasn't enough room. Wasn't enough water. So they decided, Abraham and Lot, were going to separate from each other. Abraham let Lot have first pick. You know what I mean? That's the kind of guy he was. Because it didn't matter where Abraham was, because he knew that God was going to bless him wherever he was. Well, Lot was kind of a, well, you can read about him a little bit yourself, and I'll be talking a little bit about him. But Lot picked the good ground. He picked the valley. It was so luscious, and everything was so good that Lot picked that, and so Abraham went to another place. Okay. Now, what happened was Lot happened to pick the area called Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, how many has heard about that place? You know what I'm saying? You know, they had some issues. So Lot, here he was the head of all this big herd and everything. Well, then Lot moved to town. You know, he should have been out with the critters as he is supposed to be, but he ended up moving into Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know some of the things that kind of happened there. But the first thing that really happened was a war kind of broke out. It was a war between four kings, and they attacked five, okay? These four kings attacked the five kings, And part of the five kings was Sodom. So the four kings whooped up on them, shall we say, make a long story short, and they took everybody captive. They took Lot and hit everything there and just hauled them away. Well, Uncle Abraham heard about this. How many know you're good to have a good uncle? You know, they would have been lost. They'd have been servants or slaves the rest of their life. There was nobody to save them. But Abraham, he heard about it, and I have no idea, but have you ever loved a family member that didn't deserve it? I mean, Lot didn't deserve it sometimes, but he loved him anyway. Praise God for that. Well, Abraham up and grabbed 300 of his men, well-trained. Abraham just, you know, he trained his people well. And they lit out after him, and they caught him, and they defeated him. Took all the stuff back, took all the people back. And that's where that story picks up here that I was talking about when the king of Sodom said that he wanted he just wanted the people, but he said, Abraham can have all the stuff. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. I mean, Abraham could have said, yeah, I deserve that. I went at the risk of my life and my people, and we went and we took all that stuff back. But that's not how it turned out. Abraham did not want anything because he just wanted to have the blessings come from God. And we see in that passage there is that Melchizedek came on the scene. And we're not going to talk about him today, but many believe he was a type of Christ. Whatever the case was, Abraham took a tenth of everything he had and he gave it to that king. That was the king's share. So that's where we get the first picture of tithing. We're not going to take up another offering right now, but if you want to, we can. But here we see that 10% of what he had, he gave. And see, that was before the law was given. So tithing is not under the law. Tithing was before the law. Tithing has to do with faith, not the law. So as the Bible says, Jesus said this, be it to you according to your faith. Amen? So that's where we tap into some of these things. Now, as I said, the king wanted to do that, and Abram wouldn't have nothing to do it. He said, I don't want a thread or a sandal. I don't want anything. See, Abraham would not take a handout from a king. He would only take a blessing when it came from God, and there's a difference. I'll take every blessing that God sends my way, but I don't really want a handout. I don't want handouts. I want blessings. And it's all in the approach of how you want to look at it. Now, Abraham also, later on, saved Lot. Remember when Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed because of all the gross sin and things that were involved in Sodom? And, you know, the angels came to Abraham and talked to him. And, you know, Abraham interceded because he knew he had blood kin. He knew he had a nephew that living in Sodom. The boy shouldn't have been there. But Abraham still wanted to intercede for his family member. And he was able to turn the tide, I guess, and get Lot out of there. We know that was a terrible thing what happened. The angels went down there and the men wanted to have homosexual relations with them. And Lot offered his daughters instead. Real good father right there, you know what I'm saying? And anyway, the angels, you know, we know blinded him and was able to get Lot and his family out and things like that. So I want to look at some life lessons that we can learn from Abraham here. I want to kind of pick up the pace. I got two more to cover. But, you know, we need to see God as our ultimate source. You know, we fail when we take our eyes off the source and focus on the supply. See, if we just look at the supply, whether it be our boss or our government or wherever you get your money, hopefully it's legal, amen, you know, that you do it that way, you know. But we got to keep our eye on the source, which is God. Next, we need to make sure that God gets all the glory for the blessing. You know, God's a jealous God. You know, we just got to, I believe it's only natural that we offer God the things that's due to Him and praise and glory for all the blessings. Next, give the 10%. We can only be truly successful in God's kingdom. We can't be truly successful in God's kingdom unless we're following God's plan or pattern for doing things. You know, we didn't make this up. God wrote the Bible and He told us some things about money, and you know, we need to flow with that. And that's how you get blessed. It's you can pray for mercy because that's all it is. In my opinion, you cannot get grace for blessing unless you're willing to be a giver. But there is mercy, and if that's your angle, that's the angle you can play. Mercy is when we can't do nothing about it and God just does it. And God does that sometimes. But after you get to a certain age and you've read a little bit of the Bible, you see that God does require us to fall in line and follow his pattern. Next, lastly on this one, there are some people in our families that will be destroyed unless we pray for them. And that's a fact. We need to be an intercessor. Abraham stood in the gap for Lot. Even against the angels, which are representatives of God, and just kept asking him, how about would you destroy it for this many? How about this many? How about that many? He just wanted to see, his nephew spared, and it worked out. So we need to stand in the gap. Okay, next we're going to look at Isaac. Abraham's key was, I think, that, he saw God as a source. Now we're going to look at Isaac, which is going to be trust, okay? It says in Genesis chapter 26, 12 to 14, it says, now Isaac sowed in the land and reaped the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich, and he continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy, for he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. See, the Philistines are a picture of the world system. See, the world envied him because he was so blessed. Now, granted, he probably got a little bit of stuff from his daddy, that he inherited. But what we're going to look at this picture here, it says that Isaac sowed seed and he received a hundredfold. Now, what we didn't read over in verse 1, it says there was a famine in the land. That means there was probably dry or drought conditions. If you've ever sowed seed, a garden or a farm in bad soil or when the soil has no rain, you're just kind of rolling the dice, right? Because it takes the water and the moisture to germinate. Verse 2, you can check these out at your leisure. God warned him not to go to Egypt to escape the famine. See, many times in Scripture, God told his people to go somewhere else. Like later on, he told the children of Israel to go to Egypt. The famine's going to be so bad here, and that's where I'm going to preserve you. And before Abram, he went to Egypt. That was kind of the place to go. Maybe because the Nile was there and there's a lot of rivers around it. I don't know. But the primary thing we see here is, number one, there's going to be a drought or a famine. And number two, God said, don't leave, stay. Stay right there. Stay right where you're at. See, sometimes God will bring us through instead of delivering us out of. And we need to understand when that's going to happen. That's why we need to be in tune with the Holy Ghost. Amen? We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit of which way to go. Whether God's going to take us out of it or God's going to bring us through it. Either way, we want to be where God's at. You know what I'm saying? See, if he'd have went to Egypt, he'd have went away from God's plan. And see, we ought to make sure we stay in God's plan. Now, Isaac trusted God, and that's just something he said. He said he got a hundredfold return. Now, a hundredfold return is somewhat normal when you have good soil conditions, when you're getting the rains that you need and all these things in life that's going well. But here, it said that things weren't going well. Things were dry, and that makes a difference. See, he could have been tempted to eat his seed, because what it was here, to get that hundredfold return when it's dry, that would take a miracle. And sometimes we need a miracle, don't we? We need a miracle in our finances. Maybe things ain't going the way they do. See, food and seed are the same thing. It just depends what assignment you give it. See, right now we deal in cash primarily. Most of us don't grow our food and things like that. But back in the earlier times in our nation and in other places of the world, you would sow your seed, and then when you harvested the seed, some of that seed had to be set aside for next year to be able to sow. Because if you ate all your seed, guess what? No seed, no sowing, no fruit next year. And so that's a choice, that sometimes we have. See, it probably seemed a little bit risky to Isaac throwing his seed in that dry, lifeless dirt. But with the hand of God, he received a hundredfold return. And that's what we have to tap into, of being able to follow the leading of God's Spirit in what we sow into. Now, some life lessons that we can learn from Isaac. You know, one of them is we do what we're supposed to do and leave the results to God. You know, he was following God. He heard what God had told him to do. All we can do is what God told us to do. You know, we cannot really, in a sense, affect the results other than the fact if we pull our faith off of it. You know, if he'd have sowed his seed and left, I mean, somebody else would have got that blessing. Or maybe wouldn't even been blessed because the hand of God wouldn't have been on it then. So we just can do what we do and let God do what he does. Number two, if we just focus on the natural, we will never walk in the supernatural. There's a time in everybody's life, every Christian's life, that we have to understand that we got to look beyond what we can see and start to look and see how God sees. And that's your choice. God's not going to make you do that. Every one of these people, they lived a life just like everybody else. They was out in the world. They were working. They were, you know, going to work every day, shall we say, and they were just taking care of business and doing what they had to do. But then they tapped into the miracle. Somehow, something that they did opened the hand of blessing from God. And that's what we need to focus on. Next, if God doesn't take us out of it, he will bring us through it. We need to remember that. No matter what goes on in life. You know, God won't spare us from all the problems in life. Things are going to happen. You know, your car may break down. Mine broke down the other day. $436 later, we're back on the road, baby. You know, I'd be mad at God. God, our car broke down. But I looked at my bank account and I had $436. Praise God. I just paid the man and walked away. Drove off. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just got to leave the results to God. You know, I thank God for his blessing in my life. Number four is trusting God is developed in the hard times. A lot of us don't want to go through stuff, but that's how we learn. And when we go, I'm not a masochist. I don't believe I don't walk on my knees across glass to show God how much faith I have. I mean, there's people in other countries and, you know, in Greece, I think they have something where they walk on their knees a long ways to show God how much they love him. I mean, that's not what God requires. God requires faith. You know, I trust him. I walk in his blessings. I try to follow him the best I can to be the Christian that he's called me to do. That's my desire. That's my center thing I want. And, you know, as I go through this, I know there's going to be challenges. I've been through a lot of challenges. You've been through a lot of challenges. And that's when our faith is developed. You know, a lot of people, have you ran into some kid who just got out of school, knows everything. You know what I'm saying? Until they get into real life and then they start to use it, you know. And that's how we all are in the things of God. We may read it in the Bible, but until it's tested and tried and until we go through some of those things in life, it's not really tested. We can't really call it faith, and that's okay. So we need to go through that. Okay, now, let's go to the last one, and we're going to look at Jacob. Now, Jacob's kind of a character. A lot of people look at Jacob, and, you know, they see a lot of different things in his life. He was kind of, his name, Jacob, meant supplanter, meaning he was kind of devious in some ways. And then that's why God changed his name to Israel. Okay, so Genesis chapter 30, verse 37 to 39 is kind of a wild one. And we're going to look at the idea of generational blessing in the area of creativity or creative ideas. Because that comes from God too. Genesis 30, verse 37 starts and it says, "Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white which was in the rods. He set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks in the gutters, even in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, and they mated when they came to drink. So the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted." Okay, so here we see kind of a thing about Jacob. Now, Jacob worked for his father-in-law. Has anybody ever worked for a family member sometimes? I mean, sometimes that goes good, sometimes that goes bad. Now, we know that Jacob was kind of a character. He had to leave home because his brother was going to kill him. I mean, literally, his brother was going to kill him. Because Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob, they were twins. So Esau came out first, so he technically was supposed to get the lion's share of the inheritance. That's just the way it rolled back then, okay? So, but God had told the mother, which was Rebecca, that two nations were in her womb, and he said also to her that the younger be over the greater, or the older one. the older would serve the younger in Genesis 25, verse 23. So what we see from that, and it kind of shows why, if you look through the whole passage of the story, Esau was kind of a character. He knew God knew his heart. He knew he wasn't going to be the one that would carry on the lineage of the Messiah. He dishonors his father. He despises his birthright. He was a hunter. Jacob was a tent man. He just hung around the tent, so he changed character later, which we're going to look at. But Esau went out hunting one day, and he come back hungry, and Jacob had been cooking, and he said, "Give me some of that stuff." And Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright." And Esau says, "Yeah, I'll sell it to you." He gave up his blessing from God for a bowl of soup. I mean, think about it. What kind of a guy would do that? So you kind of see what kind of a character he was. He lived by his emotions. And if we really look at it, I mean, they were a well-to-do family. So why didn't he just tell a servant to go get him something to eat? He just lived for that moment. And when he did, you know, he gave up his birthright and lost it. And then we know later on that, you know, Jacob's mom, Jacob was a mama's boy a little bit. And, you know, when it come out time to give the blessing, you know, she kind of snuck Jacob in there and put, you know, animal skins because Esau was hairy. This is kind of a wild story. But anyway, Jacob went in there and then his father blessed him and gave the blessing to him, which was supposed to happen, you know. I mean, God said that the older is going to serve the younger, so it had to happen. But anyway, so that's where it picked up. So Esau was so mad, he was going to kill his brother, and his mom heard about it, so she sent Jacob to her brother, Laban. Character in his own self, and that's where we're going to pick up this story. We know what happened is the fact that Jacob went there, he met some of his relation, and he fell in love. He fell in love with Rachel. And so he struck a deal that he would serve his future father-in-law for 7 years if he could marry this woman. She must have been really good. I mean, 7 years is a long time, right, guys? You know, to serve. I mean, praise God. Well, after the 7 years, says it seemed like a moment for him. Come the wedding night, Laban pulled a switcheroo and gave Leah, her older sister, to him instead. He must have been liquored up a little bit. It's the only thing I can guess what happened. I don't know. But anyway, woke up in the morning, here's this different woman in there. You know, surprise! You know, and what happened then is that he said, "We can't give our younger daughter away with the older ones married." So anyway, he struck another deal. He was able to get the one he wanted, Rachel, I guess, and he had to serve 7 more years. So 14 years he served this man out at night. I mean, he's kind of a mama's boy, so this is really, he changed his character. He went out and he worked in the fields taking care of the animals, so character was being developed in him by this hard work. So he worked 14 years, and then after a while it got to the place where, you know, Laban could notice, you remember Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob? That generational blessing was flowing through that line. That everything that Jacob touched turned to gold. The herds started to grow. They started to be stronger. So Laban became wealthy just because of his son-in-law. Because Laban was probably a lazy guy, it sounded like. Well, then what happened here, finally Laban and Jacob struck a deal, and Jacob was going to see all the sheep were normally white. And Jacob said, "I'll take the ones that are speckled, spotted, you know, or black." And Laban said, "Sure, buddy." You know, he looked out there and all he seen was white with only a few of the colored ones. Well, then Jacob got a creative idea from God. And that's how the generational blessing flowed. I mean, it had to be from God. You peel a little bit of bark off a tree and put it in front of the sheep, and when they mate, they come out speckled and spotted or black, you know? So what happened, there was a transfer of wealth. Things that used to have been to Laban, who was a cheat, all of a sudden started to swing towards Jacob's way. And he started to walk in and be able to place a lot of better wealth in his life. And so really there was, over a process of time, there was a transfer of that wealth. And see, that's what you and I need to look at. So some life lessons that we see from this is there are times when we will be taken advantage of, but we need to put our trust in God. I wish it weren't so, but you're going to be taken advantage of from time to time just because you're good. Just because you're a good person and you're good-natured and you want to help people. And you're going to be taken advantage of. But you can't get bitter. You got to get better. Amen? You got to just trust God and leave the results to God there. And I'm not saying you can't walk away from some of those things, but primarily, don't stop doing good because that's what God has created us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Next, God is the author of creative ideas. Ask Him to write your story. You know, He'll give you an idea. He'll give you a creative idea. He'll give you something to be able to keep that generational blessing coming through you. So be open to that. Be open to listening to God's ideas. And lastly, God has the ability to transfer wealth to a hardworking and faithful person. Amen. That's what we need to be. Look for that transfer of wealth. And then when we get that wealth, we need to be good stewards of it. Amen. Start to be able to give the things of God. Now, I talked a lot today about the generational blessing coming from fathers to sons. I didn't want to leave the ladies out. Amen. So there's a New Testament passage that kind of talks about that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and he's talking to Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it is in you as well." And so what we see here is a generational blessing being passed down through the women. Amen? So ladies, don't think that you can't have influence on your kids. You do. But we need to do it God's way. We need to see that spiritual power flow from us to our children. But that spiritual power has to first be in us. Amen? You know, we need to be the kind of person like Abraham that would only acknowledge God as their source. We need to be like Isaac, you know, who has great faith and puts her trust in God. And we need to be like Jacob, who is willing to listen to a creative idea from God and to be able to trust Him and to bring in the resources that we need. Amen? Those are the three things that we need to see. And let's close in prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. Father God, we honor You today. We thank You so much for the stirring of Your Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that You've called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. Lord, we know that these things just don't happen by chance, but we are saved by grace through faith. We thank You for Father Abraham. That is such a great example of what it means to trust God, and it's imputed to us as righteousness or right standing with God. I want to give opportunity today, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, and you know that you need to get your life right with God, maybe you have asked Him in and you maybe need to reconsecrate or rededicate your life, maybe you've fallen back, whatever the case may be, I want to give you that opportunity to make your peace with God. If that's the Holy Spirit's touching your heart, you know you need to get to a better place with God, just slip up your hand and put it down and we'll pray with you today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here today with every head bowed and eye closed, and the generational blessings have not been flowing to you or through you, and you don't want to say, "God, here I am. Help me to walk in Your covenant and to learn Your ways and to be able to pass this down to my children and my children's children," just slip up your hand and put it down. We're going to pray right now. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just thank You for a fresh impartation of Your Spirit. Lord, a fresh impartation right now in Jesus' name. That, Lord, that generational blessing is passing to us. Lord, also, it is going to pass through us. And Lord, let it pass through to receptive hearts. Lord, we pray for our young people. Lord, that they have open hearts to You. They will not listen to what the world says, but Lord, they won't listen to what the Word says. And Father, we just honor You for all these things. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.